In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first reading today from Acts, chapter 10, actually comes after the Pentecost experience in Acts, and it continues these stories about how the early Christian community is fashioning itself around the experience of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection from the dead. And so we continue in the Easter season to tell these stories and to hear these stories read to us from our own scripture. In Acts, Luke makes it perfectly clear about what the community looked like. And the community, the early community, Christian community, very early in its structuring of itself, decided that they were going to share whatever they had. That the love that the Gospel of John called them to, or that we talk about in the Gospel of John today, that love, brother for sister, sister for brother, all brothers and sisters for Jesus, grounded in their experience of the resurrection, was a love that called them into union with each other. It called them in, not just into union because they showed up at church on a Sunday morning, but they actually physically shared whatever it is that they had. They structured the community so that they shared the purse. They structured the community so that they shared food with each other. They structured the community so that they cared for each other when they were sick or struggling. They structured the community so that they were indeed one around the table of the Lord when they gathered for Eucharist. And so being part of the community and loving each other wasn't just some esoteric, sort of amorphic definition of love, but it was grounded in their day-to-day experience, one with the other. So in the Gospel today, not the Gospel, in the Acts of the Apostles, the first reading, we experience Peter kind of asking a question. Many of you know that I just got back from Italy, where we spent a few weeks with my niece who lives over there. And, you know, tooling around Italy, I'd lived there for a while and studied there. So I had seen many of the places. But one of course, when you go to Italy, my sister went for the first time. One of the things that she wanted to see was St. Peter's in Rome, the Vatican. And so I had been there many times, and as a Catholic priest, I had Mass there and had Mass, you know, down under the church in the crypt and you know, could kind of get around a whole lot more than you can when you're an Episcopal priest. So, not that anyone really cared. In any case, we went there and we got into the Basilica. And when you walk into the Basilica, I'm sure that many of you have been there. It's an enormous, just place, and it's huge, and it's the largest church in the world. It has the highest dome in the world, this incredible dome. And when you stand in the back in the center of the church, you look up and you see, you know, you can see into the dome, and you look down a little bit, and you see the baldacchino, and then you see the, you know, the Berlini or whatever it is, pillars that hold the dude up, and then you see this majestic high altar, and there's a symmetry. Adam helped me with that word just a few minutes ago because I couldn't think of it. There's a symmetry, you know, one side and the other, and it's sort of like what we do here. You know, if things are kind of out of line up there, somebody on the altar guild with their OCD is going to have a little bit of issue, you know, because things have to kind of, you know, be like each other, one side to the other. Well, if you look at St. Peter's closely, and especially if you had the opportunity like I did to have Mass down underneath, if you look down from the high altar, you look behind the high altar, there's the stained glass window of the Holy Spirit, and then you look down, there's this hole in the ground in the church, literally, like there was a big hole here, and that goes to the floor underneath. And it's called the Confessio. And if you walk down in that hole, you will see underneath the high altar this little box behind the glass. And I had Mass behind the box, but from the church you see this box. And that in that box, allegedly, are the bones of St. Peter. So St. Peter is buried in the church of St. Peter in Rome. And of course, that's the feature. So you have all this symmetry, and you look down, and it's majestic, and it's incredible. And you get down to the box of bones of St. Peter, and they're off-center. Yeah, they are, a little bit. And, I mean, that would be bothersome to many on our own altar guild. I'm sure that would be even bothersome. But I think it's a metaphor for how the church is, right? For the most part, we kind of get it together. But we have those people like Peter who are just a little bit off-center and who continue to call us to something different, something deeper perhaps, a different way of looking at things, of capturing things. And so here in this reading, St. Peter did that. He said, then it's talking about Peter preaching to this crowd of people. And the experience was, coming off after a Pentecost, that people were hearing about this Jesus. And it was changing their heart. And they weren't Jews. They were foreigners, right? They were Gentiles. They were the uncircumcised, it says. And so the question was, well, and that was a burning question in the early community, what does it take to be a member of this community where we share what we have? Where we are brothers and sisters to each other, not just this esoteric, like I said, definition of love, but we really do it. We really care for each other. What about if you're not part of the Hebrew community? Can you be admitted? And here's Peter, and he says this. Can anyone, he says, withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And that's supposed to be a rhetorical question, the answer to which is no. Truth be told, there were many people in that community who probably really would have liked to say, yes, we have these walls, we have these definitions of what it means to be a member. And you are in or you're out. And this is the way we function. Because after all, we have to protect, you know, these gifts that we've been given by our God. And Peter is saying, no, that's not the way it works. That the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, his experience of being the Son of God who gives his life for us, and what this gospel is telling us about that, how it is that he calls us friend and brother, no longer master and servant and slave, but friend and brother and sister. How it is that we are called to be one with each other depends on nothing more or nothing less but that action of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our heads and in our guts. And there is nothing about the Holy Spirit that draws us into disunion with each other. Anybody. There is nothing about the love of God that says you are worthy, but you are not. There is nothing about brotherhood and sisterhood with Jesus that calls us into separation one with the other, no matter who the other looks like, no matter what the other looks like, no matter where the other is from, no matter what language, which, by the way, we're going to celebrate at Pentecost in a couple weeks, the other speaks. If we are brothers and sisters of Jesus, if we are supposed to operationalize this love that John is talking about in the gospel here, yeah, it's calling each and every one of us into ourselves to say, how is it that I protect that love, that I somehow save it for myself, or maybe even think that somehow I'm a little bit more special than the other guy because I'm a Christian, or Jesus died for me. It's very interesting, and I didn't have this as part of my homily, but many of you knew Murray, and Murray struggled with what we used to call mental retardation. Of course, we don't call it that anymore, but his own developmental disorder for his whole life. He was 62. And it's very interesting that I didn't preach about this at the 8 because his mother and father were there, but they don't care if I talk about Murray. He had, you know, this special magnetism. And it wasn't because he was brilliant or a great philosopher or theologian or was able to actually function at a high level in the community the way most of us do, at least defined by our common life. But he had a magnetism. Why? Because, as Ann and Alan would say, he could talk to anyone. Because we were all with him. We were all brothers and sisters. He wasn't going to separate any of us one from the other. And there was a fundamental experience of love that you knew that he had for you when you were with him, even in his simple yet incredibly profound way. And brothers and sisters, that's what the gospel is talking about. That's what the gospel is inviting us to. Sometimes our sophistication, even our education, and certainly the gifts that we've been given by God, that treasures that we have, can get in the way of our being one with each other. And so the Gospels today invite us into that. When Peter asks that rhetorical question about, can anyone here somehow sit on the gift that they have of a relationship with the Father by not offering baptism to somebody because they're not from the Hebrew community? And the answer is no. I wonder in my own life where it is that the answer might be yes. How is it that I somehow build walls to separate me from the other? And where is it that I am called in this continued celebration of Easter to live into that love that St. John talks about and describes for us so profoundly and yet can seem so cliche? Where is it that we are called, I am called, to live into that love and to operationalize that gospel in the way I live my day-to-day life with the people in this congregation, in my family, among my friends, and most especially with that other with whom we as individuals, communities, a nation come into contact day and day. What might the gospel be calling each and every one of us to in a very profound yet very simple way as we listen to the word that St. Peter was preaching, to the word today. Amen.